Good morning and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we're live for a half hour each weekday morning to take your calls. If you have questions about the Bible or about the Christian faith and would like to talk about them here, that's what we do. We talk about those things when you bring them up or people like you who have such questions. I imagine you do have questions unless you may be one of those people who don't really read the Bible much or haven't read it recently. Even then, you probably have questions. But anyone who's been reading the Bible recently will have questions because when you read the Bible, it raises questions. Some of them not so easy to answer. And some of them I cannot answer. I don't hope to be able to answer, but we can discuss them and maybe get some better insight than you already have if possible. Or maybe the question can be answered. And if so, I'll try to do so. You can also call if you have a difference of opinion from the host and would like to bring that up. Please give me a call. The number is 1-800-227-5278. That's 1-800-227-5278. And for those living in Southern California or going to be in Southern California this weekend, I'm holding a meeting in Temecula. We do this once a month. Temecula is between San Diego and Riverside, and it's about an hour from each of those two places. And we have people who come from both places. We have people who come from L.A. or Ontario or other places, which is a bit of a drive. So this appeal goes out to people within a wide range of Temecula. If you'd like to join us this Saturday, we have a potluck at 6 and a fellowship at 7, at which we're going to have an open Bible discussion with Q&A. Always an enjoyable time, I think, for those who come. And its location is at the Pujo Schoolhouse, which is on the property of the Temecula Community Church, who very kindly allow us to rent that facility. And you can find a map to it at our website, the times and the map and location, all that. That's this Saturday. You go to our website, thenarrowpath.com, and click the link that says announcements, and then you'll find it. You'll find the information. We'd love to see you this weekend. Let's talk to Carol from San Diego, first of all, today. Carol, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. My question is in regard to the nuclear programs that are developing in North Korea and Iran. And I would like to know your opinion. Do you believe this is part of the buildup to Armageddon?
Well, it's really hard to answer that because there's been so many times in the past when there have been big wars that involved many nations. Obviously, World War I and World War II would be the ones that stand out in recent history. And it was easy for people to assume, even in those cases, that this was maybe the Armageddon spoken of in the Bible. Many people feel that Armageddon will be World War III. Although, for all we know, it could as easily be World War IV or V or VI. You never really know. The fact that there are nuclear arms built up does not necessarily tell us that they will be deployed. I'm sure that those who are building them up are thinking of deploying them, but you just never know what God's going to do. I do believe that the nuclear buildup in rogue nations is a cause, obviously, to look to God and realize that we live in a dangerous world. And whether this is the end of the world or whether the end of the world is still a ways off doesn't make much difference in terms of the fact that it's a dangerous world. It's always been a dangerous world, and sometimes more than others. This is a dangerous time that we live in. And dangerous times are simply times to get closer to God. Dangerous times are times to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith and to see if our walk with God is what it should be. Of course, we should do that whether it's dangerous times or not, but dangerous times certainly give us a fresh and urgent incentive to make sure that we are right with God. I wouldn't be surprised if God allows these things to happen and for us to learn of them, just to give us that kind of incentive to look at ourselves and say, well, you know, life is short. Have I prepared for the next life? am I doing with this life what I'd wish to do, what I would wish I had done if this life came to an end soon?
Yes.
After all, those are the kind of thoughts that I would have when I think of nuclear buildup in rogue states. I don't really speculate too much about whether it might be the end of the world. It could be. It could be, but I've seen too many false predictions about that to really jump into that ring.
Well, it seems significant in that is the capability of doing something that harmful
right.
is available now, where in the past it really wasn't.
Well, that's true. Although, of course, there was the Cold War for, 40 years, during which both Russia, or the Soviet Union, and we had nuclear arms. And certainly there was that potential for an obliteration of most of the human race if something had triggered something. And as it turned out, it didn't get triggered. So, I mean, the same thing could be true with North Korea, Iran, or any other nations, Pakistan or India or whatever, who have nuclear capabilities. The danger is there. The danger and the capability mm-hmm. is there, but God is sovereign. I believe that things will not happen unless God allows them to. But he sometimes does allow nations to, you know, express their hostilities in such a way. And the main thing, I think, for Christians, again, is to make sure that we are doing what we should be doing, whether we live in a time that's going to be a crisis or not. I believe the kingdom of God is always in a confrontation with the kingdoms of this world. And in a sense, is always at war, not a physical war, thankfully, but mm-hmm. a spiritual war. And we need to make sure that we are, you know, thinking in terms of battling the powers of darkness through our prayers, through our testimony, through our behavior, and through our obedience to God. And, you know, what happens geopolitically, if there's another big war, you know, the interesting thing is we think, well, this could be the end of the world. Well, it is. Today is the end of the world for a lot of people. You know, before this day is over, there's going to be probably, I don't know, a million new people who have died, who woke up this morning alive. And it is the end of their world. It's always the end of the world for many people. And even if Armageddon would come today and Southern California get blown off the face of the map, you know, it would only be the end of the world for individuals as individuals.
Well, that's
and it
true.
Wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference if, 10 million individuals individually suffered destruction, or if two or three did. I mean, certainly it would make a difference in the population of the world, but as for experience of those who died, it'd be about the same.
It just seems that biblically these steps that have been taking place are getting closer to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's certainly many who interpret the Bible that way, and we shall see. That's, I guess, the only position I can say about fulfillment of Bible prophecy in modern events. My position is always pretty much, well, we'll see.
Well, that's very encouraging. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Carol. Thanks for your call. It's good talking to you. Okay, our next caller is Vicki from Los Angeles. Vicki, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve. Done by. In the days, people were waiting for the moving of the water, and the angel would come down to the pool and trouble the water. Okay, a certain mm-hmm. man that was there for 38 years. My question is, some people, they interpret this scripture as stating that the man, you know, he had no one to come and help him, and that's why he couldn't get healed. But they also say that sometimes, you know, we as humans, we tend to get lazy, and we expect for other people to always come and help us. So I just wanted to hear your view on that particular viewpoint. Was he, you know, was he really not able? Do you think he really wasn't able to get up and move himself? Because I feel this way, if you really want to be healed, if you have to crawl to the pool, you know, or drag yourself, you know, to a pool where you know that people are being healed, then you would do that. But this particular man, you know, he told Jesus, that nobody was there to help him. But Jesus said, you know, told him to, if he really wanted to be healed, you know, that he could be healed. So can you give me your view on these scriptures?
Okay. Well, I don't see an indication in the way the story is told that the man was being particularly negligent. He was infirm. He could hardly move, apparently, and he needed help to move. The Bible says there was a huge number of people who were sick, who were laid about on these porches at the Pool of Bethesda, and there was this belief that an angel would come and stir the waters. And if an angel stirred the waters, the first person to notice that and to get into the water would be healed of whatever his sickness was. Now, I'm not sure if this was really something that was happening or if it's just the belief of the people, because some of the manuscripts actually leave out that explanation. Verse 4 is left out of many manuscripts, and some people think it was added, and that's a verse that explains that this is what happened. Whatever it was, it's clear that whoever got into the water first expected to be healed. And if there were a great number of them, well, like you say, you know, if you were wanting to be healed, you'd probably get as close to the pool as you could and try to be the first one in. But if you're slow moving and someone else is faster moving, his complaint was someone always gets in there before him. And that's not hard to imagine. I mean, some people are slower than other people, lazy or not. They just can't move quickly. So I don't find any evidence necessarily that the man was responsible for, being lazy or anything like that. And if he was, it seems strange that Jesus would pick him out to heal him. If the man actually should be doing something more for himself than he was, it seems like Jesus would have picked somebody more worthy to be healed, since he only healed one person of all those sick people there. He picked this guy out. I don't know why Jesus picked him out and not others, but I don't have the impression that Jesus picked him out because, you know, the guy was just negligent or lazy. Now, you may be right. I mean, of course you're right, that there are people who could help themselves more than they do, and they're just wanting other people to help them. And that, I think, is another story. I don't think this is that story. I think this is a man who really had a sickness that was genuine and didn't have any way that he could help himself. That's the impression I have. And so Jesus healed him then.
All right. Thank you.
Vicki, I appreciate your... Yes, thank you, and God bless you. Let's talk to Lauren from Newport Beach next. Lauren, welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. Somewhere in the New Testament, Paul mentions that we battle not with people or principalities, but something with spiritual mm-hmm. wickedness in high places. And I'm just wondering, right. What does this mean, that there's something bad going on in heaven, or are there other realms? I remember, I think Paul also mentioned he had ascended to three different realms and was forbidden to speak about any of them. I'd like your comment about that, if possible, please.
Okay. Well, the statement about Paul ascending into the third heaven is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says, I knew a man in Christ Jesus who, he mentions a period of time previously, I think it was 12 years ago, if I recall now, had been caught up to the third heaven and seen and heard things that were not lawful to be uttered. This apparently was a vision that Paul himself had. Many people believe, most people believe he's talking about himself, even though he speaks in the third person there. Third heaven, we don't know really what third heaven means, because it's the only place in the Bible that uses that term. Paul obviously used it thinking that his listeners would know what it meant, but we don't have enough information in the Bible to be sure. Most people think that the third heaven just means the place where God dwells, in contrast to the atmosphere of the earth, which is sometimes called heaven, where the birds fly in the clouds or in the heavens. The second heaven would be the outer space, and the third heaven would be the spiritual realm where God dwells. So, you know, the reference to the third heaven is ambiguous. Now, as far as wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, that's found in Ephesians 6:12. Paul is talking about the fact that Christians are engaged and locked into a conflict with an opposing army of of demonic powers, that the world is really a battlefield between two forces, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. Christians, having become followers of Christ, belong now to the kingdom of God and are therefore recruited into this battle against these principalities and powers. Now, what it says there in the heavenly places, this doesn't, again, the word heaven doesn't always mean, you know, the throne room of God. It can mean just the sky. In another place in Ephesians, Paul refers to the devil as the prince of the power of the air. And therefore, he may be picturing the realm of Satan and the demons as being in the air around us or in the atmosphere around us. The atmosphere is sometimes referred to as the heaven. He's certainly not talking about outer space. And I don't know if he's speaking about the spiritual realm. He could be referring to the spiritual realm as heaven, which is a realm that is inhabited by God and good angels and bad angels. And apparently the spirits of righteous people who've died and gone on. In the spiritual realm, there's much activity, just as there is in the visible realm. And Paul speaks as if the spiritual realm is just as real as the tangible physical realm. But it's not clear whether the term the heavenly places is a reference to the spiritual realm or to the sky, because heaven can be used both ways. Actually, in the Greek, the word Paul uses is simply the word heavenlies. It's just like the adjective pluraled, the heavenlies. Huh. And it's kind of hard to know exactly, you know, what he refers to, but he uses that term regularly, frequently, and especially in the book of Ephesians. More than anywhere else, he refers to the heavenlies a great deal. In fact, he says, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies in chapter 2, verse 6. And in a number of other places in Ephesians, he refers to the heavenlies. I think it probably refers to the spiritual realm, but it'd be hard to be certain about that.
Well, thank you. Do you suppose that's possibly a intellectual basis for the Catholic belief in purgatory?
Well, I think they'd need more than that to establish their doctrine of purgatory. Certainly, the idea that the spirits of the dead are somewhere is not merely Roman Catholic, and it doesn't necessarily support purgatory. The idea that the spirit of the person leaves his body at death and goes somewhere else would be perhaps the closest we could get from any of this kind of material. But then where they go, whether they go to heaven or hell or to purgatory, would have to be determined by more specific statements than these, I think.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you.
All right, Lauren, good talking to you.
Okay.
Thank you for your call today. God bless you. Bye now. All right, Art from Los Angeles is next. Welcome, Art, to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. My question for today is, we hear lately so many, and there's on television as well as radio, so a lot of pastors are talking about the end of time. And when you listen to that, you can see that they contributed to a lot of things that they believe that they see in the Bible. But my question to you is this. What do you think? Is this something that is, especially when it is wrong, because we have experienced this before, the interpretation of the end of time. Is this something that you consider to be evil? Or because it's to me, when you, especially in the capacities of religious, they proclaim this over the air, over the public, so to me, that sometimes create a lot of havoc for a lot of Christians that are, it makes sense. Put it this way, they make it so logic that it makes sense, and I don't see it, but I want your input, please.
Yeah, I understand. I do think it's a mistake. I think it's wrong for pastors and preachers to suggest that this is the end of the world. I mean, they might say, the way I read Bible prophecy, a lot of things that I think are going to happen look like they could happen soon. I mean, they could say things like that, but they really ought not to be trying to hype up their congregation with the idea that Jesus is coming really, really soon. As none of the New Testament writers did that. And it doesn't seem to be very productive. It's like crying wolf. The boy that cried wolf, he cried wolf so many times that although the townspeople took him seriously the first few times, they eventually figured, well, he's wrong. There's no wolf coming. And so they didn't respond when the wolf really did come. I think the church has been like the boy that cried wolf too many times. So that, I mean, now when we talk about Jesus coming, I can hardly imagine anyone taking us seriously after Harold Camping's fiascos and after the 88 reasons why Jesus has to return in 1988 and all these different false predictions which should never have been made, and any responsible Bible student would never have taken them seriously anyway. But unfortunately, most people are not responsible Bible students, and therefore they they think that this person knows something, and they begin to order their lives around it. I mean, especially this one with Harold Camping was particularly disastrous, where people gave a lot of money to putting up billboards that were actually lying about the date of Jesus' second coming. I mean, it was a lie. They didn't know it was a lie, but it was a deception, and it just put a lot of egg on Jesus' face in the public opinion. Preachers ought to stop doing that. First of all, it shouldn't make any difference whatsoever in the way we live, whether Jesus is coming soon or not. We should be living the same way, even if he's not coming soon. He might come soon. As far as I'm concerned, he could come today. I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying that we don't know that he will. And if I did know that he would, I wouldn't do anything different today than I'm doing anyway. Because any Christian who's kind of putting off until they think Jesus is coming right away to start living the way they should, I don't think they'll be able to sincerely start living the way they should, even if the bridegroom was coming. I don't think their lamps are lit. I don't think they have oil ready. You know, you're supposed to keep your oil ready because you never know when Jesus is going to come. You need to be living all the time as if this might be the time. And not because you've hyped yourself up into thinking this is the time. I don't think there's any value in that. The human psyche is such that it can only stay hyped up for so long. Eventually it's going to crash. There's no reason to hype people up and say, Jesus is coming really soon, therefore get ready. How about just say, Jesus is Lord, therefore serve him. And whether he comes soon or not, what difference does it make? He's going to come soon for you. You're going to die within the next few decades, so that's all the same as if he came soon. So, and you might even die today. You never know. So a person should be living for God every day as if Jesus was coming soon. And it's almost like these preachers who emphasize Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. It's almost as if the subtext is, therefore, you really ought to get serious about God. In other words, the reason you should get serious about God is because Jesus is coming soon. And when people connect in their minds getting serious about God with, well, when Jesus is coming soon, I better get ready to go be with God, then eventually when they've heard the church cry wolf so many times, they don't believe it anymore. And then they can't think of any reason to be serious about God because they don't believe Jesus is coming soon anymore. And that's the only reason they ever had for getting serious with God. To me, this is disastrous. I mean, I was in the Jesus movement at the hub of the Jesus movement in 1970. And our pastor told us every other day or so that Jesus was coming really soon. Every New Year's Eve, he said, I think it's got to be this year. I mean, we were in our teens. We didn't know any better. We believed that it was probably true. And we were really hyped up. Well, some of us really knew Jesus and were serious about Jesus. So when Jesus didn't come soon, it didn't change our commitment to God. But there were some people who didn't have that commitment, and they dropped out because Jesus didn't come soon. In other words, they were disillusioned. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if a pastor wants to make people's hearts sick, he can make sure of it by giving them false hopes, which are going to be deferred. A hope deferred is a bad thing for your spirit. And a pastor who raises false hopes, which are going to be dashed, is basically prescribing a policy that's going to make sick the hearts of a lot of people in his congregation when they find out he was just crying wolf again. That's my thought. The Bible doesn't anywhere say that we need to know when Jesus is coming. In fact, it specifically says, at a time that you think not, your Lord will come. So what value could possibly be seen in saying that Jesus is coming soon unless it's a psychological manipulation to get people who wouldn't get serious about God otherwise to get serious about God when they should have for better reasons than that?
Thank you.
That's my thought.
All right. Thank you very much, Chief. God bless.
All right. Sometimes, sometime when I'm not under such restraint, I'll tell you what I really feel. Anyway, I appreciate that call. And we don't have very much time. I wonder if we have time for another caller. I'm going to give you a chance, John from El Cajon, but I have to admit we may be cut off. Go ahead.
No problem. I just wanted to comment. The woman called in and asked about the man at the pool that was waiting to be healed. And the comment that I have was, Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And he should have said yes or no. Instead, he gave an excuse why he wasn't healed. And I kind of think that's kind of where we are in Christianity sometimes, is when Jesus asks us a question, he wants a yes or a no, but we give him an excuse. And so let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that's what I took out of that. That's the what I gleaned off of that that scripture.
Okay, cool.
That's it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that insight, John.
Sure.
God bless you. Bye now. And my apologies to Paul from Stockton. I would love to take your call, but I just know we're going to get cut off in about 30 seconds. And I would like to ask you perhaps that you call tomorrow instead so we can give you some adequate time. I hate to have to rush through an answer for somebody because we just don't have the time. And I believe in about 15 seconds we're going to hear the music play, and I'm just going to have to give the information about how to contact us and stuff. So, Paul, do please call tomorrow. We can talk about your question tomorrow. And the same goes for the rest of you out there. Whenever you have questions, remember that Monday through Friday we do this program. It's a half hour only, and it goes by like a flash. So you have to probably try to call early if you can. The Narrow Path is the name of the program. It's also the name of our website, where there's hundreds of free resources. There's nothing for sale. This ministry won't sell you anything. I have books in print, but I won't sell them. I'll direct you to someone else who will. Amazon or ChristianBook.com will sell it. But I don't sell nothing here. This isn't a sales ministry. This is a ministry, a service ministry. And if you'd like to help us pay the bills, you can write to us at The Narrow Path, P.O. Box 1730, Temecula, California, 92593. And that will simply help us pay the radio bills to stay on the air. Or you can go to our website, thenarrowpath.com. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk again tomorrow. God bless.
You need to be encouraged now and then, and the people behind this ministry are no different. That's why we're doing something we call Project Encouragement. We've made it easy for you to record a short word of encouragement for this ministry, and we'll send it to them. It's not about donations or mailing lists. It's just a way for you to turn 2 minutes of your time into a blessing for a ministry you appreciate. Just call 800-227-2337, extension 311, and follow the prompts. Please call now while you're thinking about it. 800-227-2337, extension 311.
I want to encourage you to take that number down and leave an encouraging word for the ministry of Steve Gregg. And it really does mean so much to these ministries to hear from listeners. So please take a moment and call today. Here's that number again. It's 800-227-2337, extension 311. Or go to KBRT740.com. Up next on KBRIGHT, it's Joyce Meyer. This is AM 740 KBRIGHT.
Strengthening the local body of Christ. This is 50,000 watt AM 740 KBRIGHT.
Bottom line here is, let's throw this on the pile of the ever-increasing list of well-intentioned, badly written laws.
Discerning Talk Radio with Roger Marsh and Dave Householder on The Bottom Line. Weekdays at 3 here on AM 740 KBRIGHT.
KBRIGHT programming is with you anywhere you have your smartphone with the free TuneIn Radio app. Download it free today.
The oldest and largest Christian station in Southern California, 50,000 watts strong. KBRT and KBRT HD Costa Mesa, and on the web at KBRT740.com.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series entitled Total Restoration. How would you like a new level of peace, joy, and freedom in your relationship with God? Well, now's the time to refresh not only your sense of adventure in life, but the dreams and visions God put in your heart when He made you. And being totally restored is the first step in achieving those dreams. Everything in today's teaching can be found in Joyce's five-part CD teaching, Total Restoration. Included in this teaching are three messages from Joyce and two teachings from John and Stacy Eldridge and Nancy Alcorn. It's a series full of dynamic speakers and life-changing messages. Just visit joycemeyer.org to order your copy today. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching entitled Total Restoration.
Well, then we had to let him go from the ministry because of the way he was living. And so we sent him down to the Dream Center in St. Louis to go through the men's program down there. And that turned out to be another nightmare because they couldn't keep him curtailed either. So then he went to live with our elderly parents, who I was already taking care of. So now I got two 80-year-olds and this 47-year-old guy that wouldn't work and wouldn't do anything. And I'm like, God, can anybody do anything besides me? Anybody feel like that sometimes? Can anybody do anything besides me? So after a while, he ended up leaving town again, going back to Arizona. Didn't hear from him for another probably 10 years. In the meantime, the girl that he was living with called me several times, giving me a rough time because I wasn't helping my brother. And here I am, I'm this famous TV preacher, and I'm helping all these people all over the world. And you should open a bank account for me and David, and you should send money out here and put it in this account every month.